Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Yesterday, we talked about it. I mean, look, you and I, we gave it attention. We talked all NFL. Were we as gaga over the unveiling of the NFL schedule as everyone else?
Right. No, everybody's different. Some people, they love it, and I'm not mad at them, Chris. I like games better than I do looking at the schedule. I'm sorry.
Really?
I like games.
I'm with you.
And I'm okay. I'm okay with football coming in September. I'm not one of these. That's what makes you love it. You know what I mean, Chris? It comes, you have a season, it goes away, you miss it, and then it comes back again.
Right.
That's why we have seasons. I'm serious. I don't understand this need to, like, stress over, I can't wait. No, that's what Christmas comes once a year, right? That's what makes it special.
If Christmas was every day, I mean, that might be, the Christmas would be a little different because they're gifts you get.
But you know what I mean. If it was every month, yes. Would it feel the same? No, it wouldn't.
No. And that's why, Rob, and we won't get into this too deeply, but that's why these minor league NFL or minor league semi-pro, whatever you want to call them, football leagues don't work.
Because people,
you know,
want the
we
NFL,
do need a break.
Chris.
Yes, we got other sports. We got basketball. We got baseball. And I'm with you. And I love, man, there's nothing better than an NFL Sunday. I've got all my TVs set on all the different games, and I'm watching them, and it's
Chris,
great.
But, Rob, we
heard, okay, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua are going to fight. I'm great. I'm hyped about it. But, I mean, I'm not all that. Okay, you signed it. I'm more excited about the fight.
Right.
Than the fact that, it's going to happen. And yesterday was just kind of crazy.
And I told you before, I've said this story a couple times. When I was in high school and I worked at the shoe store, Nichols Foot Form at the Queens Center Mall, Chris, on Queens Boulevard.
Stride-Rite, right?
Stride-Rite, exactly. Yeah. That was the name. Nichols Foot Form was the name of the school.
So that's why you wore Stride-Rites through high school.
I didn't wear Stride-Rites through high school.
Pro Cads. You were wearing Stride-Rites. It's all right. It's all right, Rob.
No, that ain't true. But I went to my boss, Shelly Zimmerman, and I'm like, I don't work on Sundays. Chris, when you work at a mall, you have to work on the weekends, right? That's when people come shopping.
Right.
I told Shelly, I said, hey, I don't work September through December on Sundays. Because I watch football. That's how big of a football fan I was in high school. I refused to work on Sundays because I had to get my NFL fix. So I'm as big of an NFL fan as anybody. But the schedule thing, pump the brakes. I'm looking forward to some games, and I can't wait.
Well, speaking of that, Rob, yesterday the hysteria was in just full bore when everybody was saying that Week 4, when Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go back to New England, his first trip back to New England since he left, he obviously returns as a Super Bowl champion. It is going to be, according to some, Rob, the biggest regular season game in NFL history. Now, we thought that was a little bit overboard. We'll see. I mean, but I tell you this, Rob. It will be one of, if not because of modern technology and all that, it may be the most hyped regular season game in NFL history. And Tom Brady Sr., Rob, yes, Tom Brady's dad, he called into a radio station in Boston this morning and added to the hype. Here's what he said.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So it's a pretty fun time.
Mm. That's
Dad,
not
please.
Even Tom Brady.
Dad,
That's Tom
are you
Brady
playing?
Senior.
Dad, are you on Tampa Bay? Did they sign you too? Come on, man.
Hold
I get
on,
it.
Rob, you got a
You're happy
with
about
his dad
your son.
Saying that?
Oh, Mike.
If your dad said that about you, would you be mad?
I'm just saying, like he's calling up the station to kind of rub it in the Boston people's face. Why would you do that? Why would you make the people not like Tom Brady when he won 6 championships there? I don't get that part, Chris. Like, he's rubbing it in their face. Why? I thought Tom Brady's synonymous with the Patriots and all that winning. Really? 1 year in Tampa Bay and Boston and New England is out the window? Come on.
Well, I don't think anybody in New England is going to hate Tom Brady because of that.
No, I'm just saying. Look, I don't understand why Dad would get involved in that. That's all.
Well, here's what I will say, right? Like we said, we'll see if it's the greatest regular season game ever, whatever. But I will say this, Rob. The more I think about it, I think week 4 of the 2021 NFL season is going to be a nightmare. A nightmare, I tell you, for Bill Belichick. It's going to be bad. Number one, Rob, because Tom Brady, who Belichick couldn't get out of New England fast enough, returns as a Super Bowl champion with a stacked team, with Rob Gronkowski, the former Patriot. And on top of all of that, Rob, he could be in position to become the all-time NFL passing yards leader right there in Foxborough. Last year, he averaged 289.6 yards a game. That's pretty high. I mean, we'll see if he can start the season off that way, but that's good. If he does that again, Rob, through the first 3 games, then he will be on pace to break the record, Drew Brees' record, all-time passing yards. He's like roughly 1,100 yards behind Brees. He will be on pace to break it right there in Bill Belichick's face, in Bill Belichick's yard. And my goodness, Rob, even if he can't break the record or doesn't break the record, it's still going to be a nightmare for Bill Belichick. It really is.
I just can't see that far and believe that. What if they're struggling? What if Tom Brady's not playing well? What if they're 0-3? What if they pick off Tom Brady 3 times? He throws 3 interceptions. I mean, there's so many things that can happen. Chris, I get the scenario and what you're setting up, but we need to get closer there before I can just commit to saying it's going to be a nightmare. It might actually be Belichick's revenge, because his defense plays well against Tom Brady, beats him, Tom throws some picks, doesn't play well, and then he can say, man, I know how to defend that guy or whatever. If I was coaching in the Super Bowl, not the Chiefs, I just forgot his name. Andy Reid's terrible performance there. And you got to admit, he was.
You never miss a chance to rip Andy Reid.
Come on, Chris. That was terrible. When Patrick Mahomes scores no points.
His offensive line was jacked up.
Nah, but you got to come up with something.
I mean,
you don't run the football, Chris. Come on. You got to do something to mix it up. But my point is, we have to wait to see where we are, whether or not that's going to be a nightmare. That's all I'm saying. I'm not there yet.
Even if Brady's not in position to break the record, Rob, it's still going to be a nightmare. Now, you're right. Maybe Belichick will pull a rabbit out of his hat. Maybe Belichick will turn back the clock. Maybe Belichick's Patriots will have a year that very few are expecting them to have, and they will put it on the defending Super Bowl champions, who, again, are stacked. Maybe. And maybe Emmanuel quickly will win the MVP award next year in the NBA. I mean, I'm just saying, Rob Parker, even if Tom Brady doesn't break the record there, his return is a reminder to Belichick and everyone else in Boston Greater Boston, that you could still be rolling. You could still be rolling. Had you kept Tom Brady and spent money to build, put pieces around him. That all that money you spent this summer, you could have spent it on when Brady was there. And maybe, just maybe, your dynasty would still be intact.
I think that's the biggest reach.
He knows how to beat Pat Mahomes.
That's the biggest reach.
How is it a reach? He just went to a 7-9 football team and won the Super Bowl.
No, because they didn't have the people or the freedom last year, Chris. The money opened up after last season. Not, they didn't have it. They were strapped.
They could have spent more.
No, they could not. They were strapped.
He wouldn't go out to get skill position.
They were strapped. And the other thing
is, what everybody was saying. Go get some skill position players.
I don't buy that. If Tom Brady was still there, they would have made it to the AFC. They would have won the Super Bowl or gotten to the Super Bowl. I don't buy that for 1 minute. And
you haven't bought it since 2012.
No, I wouldn't buy that last year. And number two, Bill Belichick didn't do anything wrong. He's done what every other football coach has ever done. All the greats have finished their careers elsewhere because that's what you do in that league. He didn't do anything wrong. They kept Brady maybe 2 or 3 years longer than he really wanted to.
Really? They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, but he had no touchdowns in that Super Bowl.
So
he didn't play that great.
They won the Super Bowl. The goal
doesn't matter.
To get touchdowns,
I'm just telling you,
it's to win
it. That the same thing, it's Brady won the Super Bowl the same way that Peyton Manning won it with an awesome defense.
No, he wasn't that bad.
And that was it. Not to say that, but it was an awesome defense that stopped Patrick Mahomes from scoring a single point in the Super Bowl.
Well, you talking about in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I'm talking
about last year. I mean, Brady played well, though.
No, that I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes having a zero.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, the defense was great, but Brady played well, too. He certainly wasn't.
The defense won the Super Bowl.
The team won the Super Bowl.
Nah, if I had to pick one of the two, the defense won the Super Bowl. No,
team won it.
You told me Patrick Mahomes is the Michael Jordan, and he gets no points in a Super Bowl.
Did Michael Jordan win it every year?
No, that's not what I said.
Six out of 15 years. So I think Pat Mahomes is still on pace.
No,
I'm just saying, you brought up Michael Jordan.
For a guy to get skunked in a Super Bowl who's supposedly going to be the GOAT or one of the greatest all time, I can't.
I saw Jordan get stripped from behind by Nick Anderson in the playoffs.
Okay. All right, did he get
0 points?
I'm just saying, did he get 0 points?
Well, it's different sports, Rob. I mean, come on.
I can't believe that the GOAT, the greatest quarterback ever, or supposedly
en route, but possibly
got 0 points in the Super Bowl.
We'll see. I mean, Michael Jordan got swept in the playoffs a lot of times. And he went on to become the GOAT. All I've said is the potential is there. Just like the potential for Belichick to have a nightmare in week 4 of the 2021 season.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And Noah Syndergaard, starting pitcher, of course, for the New York Mets, been injured for a while, but is actually expected to start rehab in about a week, Rob. And we'll see. Or rehab assignment, I should say.
Right. Hopefully,
we'll see how that
goes. He can get back on the mound.
Because he's a great pitcher
when
he's healthy. I mean, you can say that about several guys.
There's so many guys like that, man. They just can't get. The Mets had Wheeler. He was another guy, Chris. I think he's with the Phillies now. But they've just had a slew of pitchers who just can't seem to stay healthy. It's mind-boggling, to be honest.
No question. So, but Syndergaard was recently interviewed by GQ magazine, and Rob, he totally shot down the unwritten rules of baseball. He actually called them stupid. He said, "I think they're pretty stupid, to be honest. Anything unwritten sounds pretty stupid. I think it's very old school, and I think there needs to be a new school approach." Here's something else he said. "I think it's great for baseball, the trash talking." He referenced trash talking between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Trevor Bauer recently. He said, "I think it's great for baseball, and I think the fans really enjoy it. It's exciting. People are able to see both of our personalities. I think baseball's gotten too soft. I think there should be some more trash talking. I agree with what Bauer recently said. He gave up two home runs to Tatis, and Tatis heckled him pretty good. I think that's awesome. I agree with Bauer. That does not warrant somebody to get thrown at. So basically, like, you know, some of the unwritten rules, Rob, would have been, okay, Tatis homered on me twice. Next time he comes up, I'm throwing at him. And Bauer went at it with a different route. Some of the unwritten rules, for those that might not know, no taunting other players, no excessive celebrations when you hit a home run, like a bat flip or something. And, you know, even, Rob, we've talked about it, even like bunting to end the no-hitter.
Well, see, this is where me and Noah separate, and I separate from a lot of people. I'm not like, I'm a traditional guy. I love baseball the way to form. I'm not big into the DH. You could keep it in the American League. I'd rather the leagues be separate. But, Chris, when it comes to a couple of unwritten rules, I don't have an issue. I don't think with two outs and a team up 8-0, a guy should bunt the ball to try to get on base. I don't believe in that. If it's 1-0, Chris.
You mean like a no-hitter?
Yeah,
like
you're pitching a no-hitter or a perfect game, and it's 8-0. I don't believe you should try to bunt your way on. If the score is 1-0, Chris, yes. If it's 1-0, I bunt myself on, somebody hits a two-run home run, we can win the game. Am I right? With two outs. I'm not for an 8-0 game and a guy bunting his way on. I'm not. Hit your way on. The guy's got a no-hitter or a perfect game. Nah, I mean, I'm not buying that.
It's a hit, Rob.
Nope. I'm not buying it.
But here's my point. Then what you're saying, and I get it, it would be unlikely for a team to rally with two outs.
I'm talking about when the score is out. Chris, 1-0, all bets
are on. We're still playing. We're still competing, and maybe we could rally. I mean, I'm supposed to remain competitive and try to get on base and try to start a rally.
Nah, nope.
I don't get that. Why? The bunt is a legitimate play in baseball. Always has been.
That would be frowned upon, and you know in the old days, too.
I know, because it's the unwritten rules, but I'm just saying.
Nah, but even in the NBA, in the old days, before everybody started taking threes, if you were up by a big score, people frowned upon you if you were taking threes at the end of a game of a blowout. It just was, Chris, and it's about, why are you doing that? You're up by 15, and there's 20 seconds left. Why are you shooting? You know that. You would dribble the ball out of the clock out. You wouldn't be putting up threes. And now they do it and nobody cares because that's all they do. But I would have a problem with the guy who tried to ruin my perfect game. Earn your way on legitimately.
Well,
if you get a hit.
Hold on, if you get a hit, I'm good. Is it legitimate, Rob?
Nah,
it's not like a bunt's automatic.
Nope. I'm not buying
out.
It.
I'm that one, I'm bunt. Not. Get me out. Cause that's yeah. Go ahead.
The other stuff. I'm with you. I don't have a problem.
If you don't like
a guy, ripping you or going trash talking you, get him out. So I don't have a problem. I don't think you should hit somebody because they hit a home run off of you. Pitchers strike guys out in a big situation. Chris, you see the fist pump, right? I mean, they're jacked.
So you're with Syndergaard on all that.
Yes, on that. I said I'm fine with that. Yes.
The bat flipping, you cool with all that?
I'm cool with all that. I'm just talking about the one I'm going to stick to is the bunting in a game that's out of reach, Chris. 1-0, 2-1.
It's never out of reach.
That's not out of reach. 8-0.
I can't go up to the plate thinking it's out of reach.
Nope, you can't do that.
I'm a professional. I'm supposed to
compete. I want you to beat me. Get a hit to end.
But a bunt is a hit.
Nah.
It's not a separate category for bunts.
Not in that situation. You would be frowned upon.
They don't bunt
upon.
Much anymore, but bunting is a legitimate hit. And again, it's not automatic. It's not like you're definitely getting on base if you bunt.
But all you're trying to do.
They should do more bunting nowadays.
It's spoil the guy's perfect game or the no-hitter.
My concern is not helping you get a no-hitter. You're a competitor.
But I'm with you. If you go up there, Chris, and you rip a single, I tip my cap to you. I give you credit. You're not supposed to go up there and just swing at the first three pitches and give me a no-hitter. That I'm not talking about. But battle me. I've come this far. And I know it's a little different this year.
So what if you bunt in the eighth or the seventh inning?
It's not a no-hitter then. I said two outs in the ninth. No, I'm talking
so
about
that's
two,
it. Two outs in the ninth.
Two outs in the ninth, not earlier in the game. No.
Well, I'm not two talking about like ninth. Second, first, second inning. I'm talking about
no, I'm
at seventh
no,
or eighth inning.
Two outs in the ninth. Two outs in the ninth. 4 or 5 run lead. I want you to get a hit off me. That's all I'm asking.
A bunt is a hit, though.
Nah, not in my book.
I mean, Rob, bunting is a hit. You know this. There's no separate category for a bunt. It's not like guys bunt 750 and get on base 3 out of every 4
it
bunts.
It ain't automatic. I'll give you that, but I'm saying in that situation,
defend it.
It wouldn't feel good to me.
But that's my thing. I'm a competitor. If you want the no-hitter, get me out. I have everything at my disposal. I can bunt. I can swing for the fences.
Take your
whatever
swings.
Whatever it takes to get on, babe. But bunting is a legitimate hit. That's the
Chris,
thing.
Chris, would you do – all right, here we go. Guys, a perfect game, ninth inning, and the pitch is coming in a little close. Would you stick your butt out so that you would get hit or your elbow? Is that what you're trying to do?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Why not? You're trying to
but
get
on.
But
if he threw the ball at me, if he
I'm
threw the ball at
close,
me and I get hit, I get hit.
No, that's
but
different. I'm talking about where you're trying to get hit.
I wouldn't do that in general. I wouldn't ever, like, try to get hit by a pitch. But a bunt is a legitimate hit. I'm sorry. Like, I know nowadays they don't bunt very much. But bunting is a hit. And if we're down 8-0, 4-0, whatever, I mean, we're trying to win the game. So I think it's legitimate. And I think that's where dudes, if you want the no-hitter, get the no-hitter. Including bunts. So, in general, I mean, what Syndergaard was talking about, Robin, we'll ask the listeners about that because that's obviously a meaty question there. But I think what Syndergaard was getting more at was what you were talking about with the trash talking,
no, right.
The bat flipping.
I agree with him there. And you know what, Chris, which would be interesting, and they'll hold on to that quote about the unwritten rules, and if Syndergaard was ever in that spot – and a guy bunted and broke up his no-hitter. I just wonder.
Well,
you know
and
what
in
I mean?
Fairness, he didn't mention that. So, no, like I said, I think he was more talking
but that's
about,
an,
you know.
But that's
but
an unwritten rule,
it is an unwritten
though.
Rule. Right,
it is, right.
Right. So, we'll ask. I want to ask the listeners about that. But I do think, Rob, if you let guys, and again, they're starting to more now, but that's where you see guys' personalities come out, right?
Tatis,
and we know,
I love it. Don't you love it, Chris? I love Tatis. I love watching them.
In all the sports, personalities matter, right? I mean, that's part of why the NBA's players are the most popular in the country. Because the sport, and then obviously they're on social media and everything, they are able to show their personalities. And I do think baseball would be better off if they let guys' personalities shine through. And if guys were talking a little trash, I mean, yeah, there's a limit, of course, right? But let a guy, he homers off a pitcher and stares him down a little bit. I'm fine with that, right?
That was like the big bat flip.
Right.
In Toronto, right?
Yep.
And it was a playoff home run, and I loved it, Chris. What a dramatic moment! It was in Toronto, and some people didn't like it. I think that stuff where you trying to corral people from showing emotion. I think that something's wrong with that. I
absolutely,
that.
And that goes for both sides. The pitchers can show the emotion. The batters can show the emotion. Stay within the. You know, don't go off the base paths to taunt somebody. And, you know, again, there's always a limit, but they should allow it. I think the NBA sometimes goes too far when if a guy dunks on you and stares at somebody, it's a technical. I mean, let the emotions flow.
Right.
People want to see that. And, Rob, it would lead, and you know this, and we talked about it yesterday. We talk more baseball, we believe, than any national show out there, national right. radio show. You and I are on the debate talk shows. They talk very little, if any, baseball. And I do think if you had the personalities of the players shining forth more, and maybe there is a battle, maybe a Tatis and a Syndergaard, there's some bad blood because Tatis was staring down Syndergaard after he homered on him or whatever. And you know what I mean? That those are the types of things that I think would get discussed more too, Rob.
I agree. I think the personalities.
Not that the other stuff shouldn't either, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that there was a time when you just had, you got to have some villains, Chris, as well. People that rub people the wrong way and are polarizing, you know. So if everybody's the same and nobody steps out of line, do you know what I mean? You don't build those. You got to have villains. Oh, I hate that dude. Jose Bautista, when he hit that home run, a lot of people didn't like it. I thought it was a great moment for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays fan, that was in a game five of a playoff series. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, I loved
it. A big three-run home run. That was awesome. And the crowd, if you have never seen that, man, go back and watch that video. And you tell me there's something wrong with that, Chris, because it wasn't.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get right to it. There's so much to talk about. Do you think, let me ask you this, because we're going to talk about this a little later. Are the Lakers, Eddie, we know they're in the play-in right now. If you were a Laker fan, would you rather them be in the play-in and face, say, Steph Curry, and then if they lose that game, they got Memphis or San Antonio, most likely. Would you rather, and then if you get through the play-in, though, you will either face Utah or Phoenix in the first round, or would you rather them get to the sixth seed and play the Clippers in the first round?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's like this. I can't see myself as a Laker fan, so I won't speak from that perspective.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know, I got you, but from a perspective as a player, I would want to be in the playoffs. And it doesn't matter where we're at. I wouldn't want to play the playing game for a couple reasons. Anybody could get hot. Anybody could get hurt in there. And say you lose that first game, you're in trouble if something unfortunate happens in that first game. As far as whatever seeding, I wouldn't care. As long as I'm in the playoffs, you're going to have to go through everybody anyway. You're going to have to go through the toughest teams anyway. Why not get them out the way? I don't think the Lakers as a team, if they're healthy, they're whole, and everybody's back, I don't think that they should fear any team. I think that they have size. And if LeBron James is healthy, and I remind you that 80% LeBron James is better than 90% of the league. So if he comes back healthy, with AD being healthy and Drummond getting some reps with these guys and Kuzma learning his role in that offense and Schroeder coming back, which is a lot of things that have to happen. I think it doesn't matter where you put them. I think it's inevitable to see them facing the Nets in the finals if everybody's healthy.
Yeah, but you said a lot of ifs, and that's why I'm out on them. Too many things have to go right. And tell me about a groin injury, Eddie. Did you have one? I'm sure you did in your career at some point. And does it linger? Does it take a while to go away? AD's got the groin.
It all depends on the severity of it. You know, you could tweak it a little bit or you could, pull it. And a pulled groin is not cool. It takes forever to get back from. All your motions that you even getting out of bed bothers you. If it's a slight little, a ding or anything like that, I think with rest and some exercises, you could bounce back pretty quickly. But again, it's a lot of drama. They're in Tinseltown, so they're going to put on – it's a big show. Everybody's wondering what's going on. Believe me, when playoff time hits, those guys are going to hit the ground running, and they're going to be healthy. And they're going to be looking to play whoever they have to play to knock them off to try to get to the finals. Because let's be honest, we all want to see it, a Lakers and Nets final.
You're in Phoenix. You see a lot of the Suns. Chris Paul has really helped that team turn around. A lot of there's some a drumbeat now for him to be the MVP. I'm a voter. I'm going with Nikola Jokic. Who really? Would you vote for MVP right now?
I think Jokic has a strong case. But look at what Chris Paul has done. He has his team in a better position, a better seat. Look at the turnaround the team has had since he came. Yeah, there has been other pieces added, but he has been the catalyst of the team. Leadership-wise, making big shots when he needs to make big shots, making big plays when he needs to. Gives Devin Booker the opportunity to be Devin Booker to score and not have to be the playmaker so much. Yeah, it's a buzz around this city. I think that he definitely should get the vote. He changed the whole organization around.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, but even when Jamal Murray went down, people thought, oh, Denver would buckle a little bit, and they didn't. I mean, that's the part that I look at, and I got to give Jokic credit.
You got
credit.
Jokic, right, Rob?
Right, I got Jokic. I'm just saying, like, they didn't crumble because Jamal Murray went out. They still won at a similar rate. So I think that speaks volumes to me.
I think it speaks volumes too, and they played through Jokic. But my thing is this: we look at where they were last year, right? How much better are Denver this year than they were last year? You look at the Suns this year compared to last year. How much better are they this year than they were last year? And you can look at the major factor. There have been other pieces added and guys have stepped their game up, but I think that all falls on Chris Paul's leadership, him pushing guys, him putting people in position to be the best they can and leading by example, not just barking out there, but also leading by example. And if guys ain't doing the right thing, he bites at times. So that's the reason why I like Chris Paul for the MVP. And moving forward, do I think that the Suns can compete for a championship? I think they're one step away, one major piece away, either at the three position. I know they have some guys there and they kind of platoon that at the three or the four, but really at the three position, a guy that can play two-way basketball, I think that's where they're missing right there, another lethal score.
You've mentioned Brooklyn a few times. That's your pick to come out of the East. I don't know if you saw the game last night with James Harden, but he didn't miss a beat. 18 points, almost a triple-double. I think, Eddie, he's the key. I don't think they can get out of the East without him, and I think they can win it if he plays every game.
No, he's definitely the key. I think you look at what he brings. He's a guy who is allowing Kyrie to be Kyrie. I know he's not there right now, but he's allowing KD to be KD. He took the role on it as I'm a facilitator. And think about that bounce pass he made. That's an elite pass that he made last night. There's not too many people that have played this game that are able to make that pass that he made yesterday. Unbelievable pass. And he's a willing passer. And the thing about him is, if you think about it, he is – being the facilitator, but don't sleep on, if he needs to score, he will score. And I think the reason why I like the Nets, well, I'll tell you why I like the Nets, is because the usage rate for James Harden the past few years, where he has been doing everything, and he looks like he always loses his legs. They say, where did he go late in games, late in the playoffs? He's not going to have that usage rate. He's going to be making plays. So when it comes down in the stretch, there's no excuse now. He should have his legs. And I think that's very dangerous for anybody that's going to be playing the Nets.
Hey, Eddie, let's make a friendly wager of some Wingstop, a 20-piece, and a drink. You have Chris Paul for the MVP. I'll take Jokic. And this reminds me.
No, I'm not voting.
I mean, Jokic is going to win going away.
This reminds me. Wait a minute. Hold on, Eddie. Let me tell you why. This reminds me of last year with the LeBron drum beat. It's not a lifetime achievement award.
It is.
And everybody had the same drum beat for LeBron, and he got trounced in the voting. Chris is right. It's going to be another. Chris Paul is not winning the MVP.
Well, that's fine. You guys asked my opinion. I gave you my opinion. I didn't want to bet on it. But, hey, you know what you could do, though, Rob? Hold those wings and that soda. My birthday is tomorrow. I'd like to get that from you one of these days. We're going to sit back and celebrate my birthday.
Hey, I'll send it to you, man.
Yo, happy birthday,
I'll send you
birthday,
a gift card.
Man.
Happy birthday. How old were you,
Is that the big 4-0?
No, No, 43, man. I'm 3 years old.
Okay.
Past that, man.
Okay.
43. Yeah. And I do want to say
awesome,
again,
man.
Real quick, I know we're breaking. Eddie, thank you. He did a piece for us on MLBBro.com about the A's potentially moving out of Oakland, his hometown team. So if you didn't check that out, go to MLBBro.com.
I hate to say it, Eddie. They gone.
Man, I hope they not gone. But guys, I can't believe we ain't talked about Russ at all, though. But I know we running out
of time.
Go ahead.
Give me. You got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
How unbelievable is he, man? And I think everybody wants to water down the triple-double. What's impressive is the fact that when he does get a triple-double, his team wins. And I want to say, 15 assists yesterday. A guy coming in that was not known as a point, wasn't a point guard, and people try to make him a point guard to be being one of the top leaders in assists.
He's leading again this year, yeah.
Yeah, year in and year out, and also, you know, out rebounding guys like Embiid and stuff like that. I mean, you got to tip your cap to it and say, if it was so easy, everybody be doing it. And if you could do it, you go to the rec center and do it for a day and holler at me when you do that.
I'm with you, Eddie. I'm looking at my all NBA teams, and I think I got to find a place for Russ on there. I'm not saying first team for sure. Probably not safe, but I got to find a place for him probably on third team. I mean,
man,
this is incredible what he's doing. Even over Beal to me. Over Beal. I mean, if you had to pick one of those two to put on All-NBA, I'm going with Russ.
Well, the reason why I would probably go Beal play more games than Russ, and I think that's the problem. If they were healthy and was able to play, they would be in a much better position than they are right now. Believe that, especially the way Russ plays and the way Beal had been playing. That would have been a nice team to see step into the playoffs and go from where they were last year and get into the playoffs and not a play-in game, but actually clinch a playoff berth.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they can get through the play-in round. That'd be nice. I don't think they beat one of the top two teams. But, you know, I don't think you want to play them in the first round.
No, you don't want to play Brody. You know, but he's going to bring it every night, man. That's one guy I tell you that I would pay money out of my pocket to go watch play. I appreciate his competitive spirit. He doesn't take a day off, and he doesn't cheat the game. Any way you look at it, he doesn't cheat the game. And that's the reason why he gets all these triple-doubles, because he never cheats the game.
All right, that's our man, Eddie House. Great stuff as always, brother. We appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Y'all take care, bro.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.